morning to you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insults. Anna's off today, and oh boy, we got a lot going on in the studio here. Kevin Powell, who just announced to us he's watched now Star is Born for the seventh time.
Yes.
Richard Roper, I should point that out, since you are the official film critic of, and you love that movie.
I did.
My allergies kick in every time at the end of the movie. I don't know what it is, but yeah,
I remember talking to Bradley about 3 years ago, because he was like, is Stephanie really going to, that's what we call Gaga, that's her real name. So we said, is she going to have the acting chops, Rich? I don't know. And I said, Brad. None of that happened. No, I think it's a terrific film.
I fell in love
with
him. He's
a great guy, and he did a great job.
You did talk to him when he came in here for that,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, we had a great conversation about the film and everything he did on that. And he's a really cool guy. He's one of those Philly guys who could be a Chicago guy. You know what I mean? Regular guy, sports fan, annoyingly talented, irritatingly handsome, but really down to earth, and really, you know, loves the art of filmmaking. And, you know, this is the guy that was, kind of a jerk on Alias, and then was, you know, a jerk in, like, you know, Hangover movies and stuff like that, or Wedding Crashers, right?
Crab Cakes and Football, that's what Maryland does.
But, you know, really turned into something, you know, took it to the next level. So, good guy, great film. And Kev,
I'm going to watch it again tonight. Get a good cry in, I'll let you guys know.
Want to bring it over?
I got a deleted scene copy, if you'd like that.
Oh,
you can see that.
I hate deleted scenes.
There's a reason usually they were deleted.
You always find out. You're like, wow, that really didn't work, did it?
Yeah. Didn't he say he had about 10 different endings to the movie, and that's the one he obviously ended up settling on?
Yes. In fact, all right, quick spoiler alert for you here. You know, Shallows. You know, Shallows won the Oscar for Best Song.
Now I've become obsessed with the soundtrack too. That's all I listen to.
The original script, and again, if people haven't seen it, Star is Born's been around since 1934. Okay, so I'm not going to worry too much about giving away plot stuff. But in the original version that Bradley had co-written with Eric Roth, his character waded out into the ocean and ended his life. So Shallows was kind of tied into all that, the nautical water theme and everything.
I'm going to cry. What?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yes. All right, hold on a second. Let's introduce her now. Lauren Lapka is joining us. She is our new traffic reporter and personality on the program.
That's fantastic.
It's a first.
Although you're already having second thoughts based on the first 4 minutes here. What are these idiots talking about?
I don't know this movie. Haven't seen this movie. Don't even know the song.
You don't know Shallow?
No.
Get Shallow.
Tell me something.
Oh, no, don't do it to me.
Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more?
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself.
So many good times.
For change.
You know, when is the Harry Carey's? Have you announced that yet? The annual toast?
No. Have we announced it yet?
Have we announced the actual
date
on
that? I don't know if we have the official announcement.
I know Lauren's going to have a great time at that, where we always celebrate Harry Carey's, at Harry Carey's, with a live audience and everything. But Kevin and I could probably be talked into doing an acoustic duet.
Yes. I was going to say, when Gaga comes in on that song, that's when the real waterworks happen. That's when you really feel the passion.
Can you just cue it up to when Gaga comes in?
By the way, that'll be your part.
Okay. I think that
works. Just so you know.
Just hearing this gives me anxiety.
Tell me something, boy.
Aren't you tired trying to fill that void?
I am tired. I am.
Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling.
Yeah. And she did.
This song could be about a drinker, to be honest. I don't know the kind of background of what the song's about, but
you're spot on.
And falling, I mean,
did you say drinker?
You got it. Good job, actually.
That is 100% correct.
Well,
that is what happened. It is about a drunk who falls in love with this woman, and she's going to save him.
Oh, wow, you're not joking.
No.
You nailed it. That's what we're saying.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing that goes
gin. He was a big gin guy.
Yeah.
You guys just gave it all away.
Richard gave it away, but I can tell you that at the end of the movie, Bradley Cooper does not walk into the ocean.
He does the opposite of walk anywhere.
Not even out of his... Well, I won't say. Be you know, just tell me so I don't have to spend 2 hours.
And then the dog outside the garage?
Oh, man. Wait, don't say garage. Kev. Why would you say garage?
Oh, why did I say garage?
Is there a dog that dies in this?
No.
Just a human. No big deal.
Listen.
It's not a dog.
In the movie code now, there's only one code left, right? There used to be a code where you couldn't show two people in bed without one person having a foot on the ground, right? I mean, there was a lot of codes in the history of movies. But the one code that still stands is... In American movies, the dog doesn't die.
Yeah. Unless it's a horror film. Right. Sometimes it will.
And when it does, you're scarred for life, just like I am after watching A Star Is Born.
It's the old Yeller rule. As soon as they killed old Yeller, it was like America went ape pleep, and then it was like, all right, we can't kill the dogs anymore. It was like all the agents in Hollywood, listen, Dolly, baby, sweetheart, booby, we cannot kill the dog because now people will not go to the movie.
Humans, free for all. Kill them all. I don't care. Just don't touch the dog.
Well, Kevin, I think you know this story very quickly, but the greatest spoiler alert story I've ever experienced was I did a charity event with Charles Barkley, and there was a movie that could come out called The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That was the full title of the movie. And he says to me, I really liked that movie until the end. I didn't like the way that ended at all.
Was he stunned by the end of Titanic?
It's called The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
But he shot him at the end.
Pearl Harbor, I hate it when they attacked our base.
I didn't see that coming.
True story.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was just going to be mad because maybe the guy wasn't a coward. That's misleading. All right. Stand by, everybody.
Welcome, Lauren.
Lauren.
Hey, yeah.
Lauren's like, what the heck is going on here?
Good luck to you, Lauren.
I got to start watching some movies, I guess.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. You're right. Richard's got the screeners. It's all good. Hold on 1 second. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's going on at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom.
Well, first of all, welcome, Lauren, and all Boeing 737 MAX jets will remain grounded for now.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis right here at 720 WGN. Anna's not here, but it's a cast of thousands today. We've got Mr. Kevin Powell. We've got Mr. Richard Roper. We've got Lauren Lapka in studio with us. And Lauren is the new addition to the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis right here. She's just getting nothing but standing ovations all day long. it's really something. All right. Mr. Ben Bradley, also a cast member of this program, whether he likes it or not, is joining us now on the CLTV by way of satellite magically from the WGN TV News.
And I am also standing. Welcome.
Yes. There you go.
He's standing. Ben Bradley is standing because his wife told him to stop slouching at the anchor desk.
Oh, man.
A feeling I know very well. You start leaning forward a lot. And,
Yeah, she lit me up.
Yeah.
She lit me up.
Kind of funny.
Well done, Ben.
The good news is she was actually watching, which is... Yeah. You know, I'll take the win there.
Progress.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you come in, she goes, you know, Rob Johnson's so much better looking than you are.
Oh, wow. That's harsh. Harsh.
I hear that a lot, actually. Yeah, kind of insert any name before
you know what's
that
really
sentence,
funny?
By the way.
Do you know what's really funny? Is Ben will often, when people come up, like when you know we're out or some people come up, oh, you're the guy from TV. He goes, yes, Rob Johnson, Channel 2 News.
I only say that if I'm acting inappropriate.
Exactly, yeah.
Sorry, which was all funny until a couple of years ago when Rob came up to me and goes, hey, man, you got to stop introducing yourself as me because it's actually starting to get back to me. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. What's coming up on the news?
Man, what a busy day. Of course, we have this unusual scenario where President Trump announcing the grounding of the 737 MAX 8 and 9. Not the FAA. The FAA, of course, quickly following suit. But it comes just a day after both Boeing and the FAA insisted the plane was safe to fly. There have, of course, been two crashes in the last couple of months involving this type of plane. Other aviation authorities across the globe had been grounding it. The U.S. had not. That changed today. Looks like Southwest Airlines is going to be the airline impacted the most. They operate 34 of the MAX 8 planes, routes from Chicago, including San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, Vegas, Denver, Nashville, and Houston. American operates 24 of these type of planes. United has 14 MAX 9 airplanes. So all of those are going to be grounded. And think about it. While it might sound like a relatively small number of airplanes and a relatively small percentage of their overall fleet, Southwest has like, I think, 700 or 800 planes in their fleet. You know, each plane flies 5, 6, 7 legs a day. Yeah. So there's going to be a ripple effect. We're live at Midway Airport checking on that, as well as talking about the reasons for this plane to be grounded. I'm not going to go all aviation geek on you now, because Roe and I could spend about 12 hours doing that. But, you know, it's really interesting because pilots have been reporting problems with how the computer system takes over for many months now. But authorities just now catching up.
And that's the specifically the part of the autopilot that's called the MCAS, not related in any way to the Mexico-Canada-United States program. And it is, and we will have an instructor, a 737 MAX instructor, join us in the 4 o'clock hour to explain.
You're going
to
be like that guy on CNN in the simulator. And anytime there's any type of story, Ro jumps into the simulator. He's like, listen, I got 812 hours on flight simulator on the MAC.
Right, I have more hours in a 737 than the guy flying in Ethiopian Air did. I can tell you that.
Yep.
I got I've actually flown in the cockpit with this guy, with this instructor before. And so I've got 6 hours. I didn't touch anything, but I got 6 hours.
That's his nickname. Ro's nickname is "Don't touch anything."
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, the other interesting story we're covering today involves the guy at the center of that college admissions scandal. He had a foundation, and that was how the feds say he funneled a lot of these bribes to get the kids of rich and famous people into schools. Well, it turns out we pulled the charity filings of the charity that he used to make those donations, and he's donated $150,000 to DePaul University over 3 years, 2014, 2015, 2016, coincided with the time his son was a student at DePaul. DePaul says, to the best of their knowledge, there was no wrongdoing, and this case is not part of the federal indictments that were announced yesterday. I did ask a DePaul spokesperson for clarification about whether the donation preceded his son's admission or occurred while he was already a student. They have not responded to that part.
I mean, and I love DePaul. Do not get me wrong.
Go Blue Demons.
Yeah, they're a it's a great Chicago institution.
Absolutely.
But if you can get your kid into Yale, why are you sending your why did the kid not go to Harvard or something?
Well, this was only $150,000. I think Harvard was
like
$6.5 million,
right? For Harvard.
Yeah. Now you gotta wonder, was there a menu, right?
Exactly, like, to pick the different schools. Now, Ben, that guy's son, he was the 5'2" power forward on the Blue Demons basketball team.
The son was on the Lady Blue Demons
St. John's
basketball
the other night.
Team.
Yeah.
You can see him
I knew
play
there
for
was
the
something
women's
about
team
that
in the
kid.
Final four. Yeah.
This story's just wild. He had some whiz kid who works at IMG Academy down in Florida, which is a college prep institution. This guy was so smart, if they said, give me a 35 on the ACT, he was cranking out 35s on the ACT.
Game
you want
system.
A 30 ACT? Because my kid's really not that smart. I don't want them to get too suspicious on us. Give me a 30 on the ACT.
Hmm.
And this is the guy who was paying he was paying $10,000 a pop to take these tests for kids. And
yeah,
the guy
like
was an absolute
like a
genius.
Child actor, though. At some point, you think the guy gets too old where when he shows
well,
up.
Well, that's what happened. That actually happened. There were some people going, you're 36, man. What's going on here? His job, I'm not kidding, is college entrance exam counselor at IMG Academy.
Wow.
That was his real job. And on the side, he was getting paid $10,000 a pop to take these tests. And he would go, you want a 32? I'll get you a 32.
Wow.
I can guarantee at least a 21 on the ACC.
Right.
Boy. Pain is lame.
Yeah.
Hey,
this story's nuts.
The other story we've got for you tonight on the WGN News at 9, we talked about it a couple of days ago when Ro unceremoniously leaked the investigation. The third airport in Will County, you've heard it talked about literally four decades. You'd be shocked to find out how much land the state of Illinois has bought up over the last 20 years and how much of your tax dollars not only they've spent buying that land, sending farmers in some cases off their land, out of their homes. Years ago, there were threats to evict people. They continue now to have to pay your tax dollars to take care of the land where there is no airport. And by the way, J.B. Pritzker's administration says, yeah, we're not so sure that we even need an airport down there.
Wow.
But you can't sell the land because then you're going to have because there's too much land in that area that they'd be selling. They'd be killing the Illinois farmer with that.
The state of Illinois now owns 5,000 acres.
See, he's giving away his own story.
Oh,
you were so mad at me about mentioning the story the other day, and you were afraid Rob Johnson was going to spike it because you keep impersonating him.
I would deserve it.
And now you, and now you're just giving away the story. And the other, I think the other piece of this is that why? And I've already come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I give you an appropriate solution for this? I mean, this would be a perfect place to build a Space Force base. I'm going to go.
Fantastic.
I'm going to go to Trump, and I'm going to explain to him. Listen, you want your Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
You could never win Illinois. You want to get a shot at winning Illinois? Then build a Space Force base right there where the Piatone Airport was supposed to be, in Moni, even though that's the exit. I don't know.
How about, Ben, if you can combine all three stories? They could use this land for people to practice the Boeing MAX 8s by pilots who are accredited through that guy that's helping people get the scores on the test.
I love it. Stories. I love
there
it.
You go.
Slow news day. A lot going on today.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
We'll see you today at 4.
Thank you, Benjamin.
B squared.
Benjamin, you are a pervert. Thank you. That was his name, wasn't it? Benjamin from, that was from The
Check,
Graduate.
Please.
From The Graduate.
No, you just made it up.
Yeah. I feel so bad for your newest contributor here. This is, I hope she hasn't signed the contract yet.
Too late. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Rocon Show with Anna DeBlancis right here, 720 WGN. Kevin Powell's in the studio. We got to... Now, this is an interesting thing, because Jen is doing the traffic, mm-hmm. Kim is doing the news, but Lauren Lapka is with us, and she is going to be taking over the official duties of the traffic department starting tomorrow. And let us all pray. Let us just quietly pray.
Hey, come on now.
So, all right, now, in the studio with us right now, it is the Honorable, the Treasurer of the County of Cook. And I would say Maria Pappas, who is, I think, you know, one, to my experience in this town, my whole life I've spent in this town, known a lot of public servants. I know very few who are as dedicated, resourceful, and good at administering their office as you are. I will say that to you right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm down to 60 people from 258, and 30 of them are full-time programmers.
Wow.
So what we're going to hear about today is the fact that 800,000 of the 1.7 million property owners are coming to my site for one-stop shopping. And I am up in 127 languages, and I've had 400,000 downloads in foreign languages.
I pay my taxes in Urdu. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just practicing. That's how I do it. That's my
well
thing.
Done.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about something important here, though, which is that there are 57,000 properties that are about to get sold at an auction here.
Right.
And I think there's people that are going to get sold, either they're renters or maybe their owners are just not able to keep up, don't know what's going on, that, you know, could lose their properties.
Right.
And Willie Wilson made a big deal about this when he was running for mayor, about if you're eight months behind on your taxes, they'll take your property away from you. What are the real rules here?
The real rules are that after 9 months mm-hmm. of not paying your taxes, so last year's taxes, the taxes are sold. So roughly now we're dealing with about 54,000 people on this list. But of that 54,000, they are what I would call the most vulnerable in the entire county. And the reason that they're most vulnerable is because roughly 21,000 of those, the mail got returned to my office. So how does mail get returned to my office? Mail gets returned to my office because this is a senior citizen who's disabled, and this is the vast majority of these cases, and that senior never gets to the mailbox. Or if the senior gets to the mailbox, they think that what I sent them is a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon, and it gets tossed.
It gets tossed a lot, yeah.
So now we've done something to find those seniors. So here's what we've done. On this website, cookcountytreasurer.com, you can go back 20 years, and here it is. I'll actually show it to you. You can go back 20 years. This is a piece of property in Hyde Park. If you put in your address,
okay.
A picture of your house is going to show up, and this is the property. So it was delinquent. It means it's going to tax sale. But if you go to the next page and scroll down, wait, this is
thank
my,
God this is on TV. I hope they're getting this. That's very nice. It's the cameras.
That's very good.
There.
The Cone hearings didn't have this many graphics
this
available.
This is a senior who did not get their homeowner's exemption in 2017 or in 2014, and this is a senior who didn't get their homeowner's exemption in 2017 or in 2014.
I have no idea what she's talking about now.
Wait just a second.
No, you've totally lost me.
I owe this person $2,000 because they didn't get their exemptions. And they are on this tax sale list. So what I've
done, what are we telling people to do? A lot of old people do not people. That's not a nice way of putting it. But a lot of senior citizens don't use the computer.
Right.
And they can't get down to your office. What do they do?
Okay. So what I'm doing is I have dispatched this list online to every alderman, every commissioner, every state rep, every Republican and Democratic elected official countywide, including all the assessors. And I have now programmed this site so that these lists are available down to the actual name of the person. Here's the list. I've got another show and tell.
Oh, gosh. It's radio. You know you were coming in for radio, but go ahead.
This is just for you.
Yeah.
This is just for you.
Okay.
You can go on my website and you can punch in any ward, any township. It lists the person's name. Okay, so you can check out your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, anyone at all.
I think I see all of them on there right now on that chart. Boy, that guy in Sauganash is in trouble, I can tell you that.
I just did a press conference last week in Chinatown. It was amazing. I threw this list up on a television screen, and the guy who was waiting on us found a $2,500 refund of his uncle in China. He was a homeowner. He was missing an exemption. So people are clueless about the fact that they are entitled to these exemptions. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the news.
Okay.
There's $44 million worth of seniors that didn't get their exemptions.
Okay, but I got a question, though.
Okay.
If they... All right, so this person you just showed me, who is owed their exemption, but they're also in default because they haven't paid.
Right.
So they come to you, they're afraid, I don't have the money to pay you. Do you set up a financing thing? First of all, you give them credit for the money but that comes off their money that they owe you. Let's say they already owe you...
She owes four, I owe her two.
All right, so she still owes two. She owes 2,000.
So what do we do about the two?
Yeah, what do you do about the two?
What do we do about the two? If she applies for these exemptions, it will stay her getting on the tax sale. It'll stay. So she's got a little bit of extra time.
And how much time do you get for that?
Well, until the next tax sale.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't know what that means. Like 9 months a year?
We're teaching people.
I was in a poker game last week where this exact thing happened.
Don't confuse her. Go ahead. Yes. What is it?
Or we're teaching people this. I mean, people don't know. It's called spend your kids' money.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Senior Citizen Deferral Program.
Uh-huh.
You could be one of these seniors who makes under $55,000 a year and are over the age of 65 like me, okay? And so what happens? You now get to apply for the Senior Citizen Deferral Program sponsored by my office in the state of Illinois. You come in and you say, you know what? I don't want to pay any taxes until I'm dead. Let the kids pay it when I die. So the state of Illinois says no taxes to be collected from this person who makes under $55,000 a year, and when they drop dead, the estate or the kids pay for it.
Now, you have to prove that they got the dough when they drop dead, though, right? Or you just take their word for it?
No, when the house is sold.
Oh, okay.
When the house is sold.
Got it.
We pick up the taxes there. Okay. So that's a program that they can apply for. But the problem here is the following, that no matter how many pieces of mail I send, no matter how many, it won't make any difference because these particular 22,000 people are really literally 22,000 people who may be in wheelchairs, never get out of bed, and just don't get to the mailbox. So we now have every possible person knocking on people's doors to see if we can get them this information because some of them do have the money. They just don't know that they owe anything. Here's what's important about this website. On this website, we go back 20 years on any piece of property, either commercial or residential. And I can tell you if anybody overpaid on their tax bill. So if you do a closing.
You know I did. Can you check?
For
you
sure.
There's got to be. You must owe me money.
Well, I can pull it up on my phone.
I'm kidding. Please do not put my information out. We do have cameras in here. Anyway, the point is that if you want to, so this is relative. This is important. If you have elderly parents or grandparents or whatever that you know live in Cook County, go to the website and go put in the information. But do you need the property identification number to do that?
This is what's the beauty of this website. You no longer need a 14-digit number. You can simply go to that site, put in your property address. Do not put in north, south, east, and west. Just put in whatever the address is.
But what if it's like, we're 303 East Wacker. What about 303 West Wacker?
Just put 303 Wacker and it will show up.
Even if it's, there's two, both of them will show up.
It'll show up.
If there's
two. Because you'll put the unit number in. No, both won't show up. You'll say 303 Wacker, 18th floor, because it'll ask you for the floor.
Right, but what if there's an 18th floor on 303 West Wacker? What happens then? This is not Jeopardy. I'm just asking.
Do you not love him? He's the only person who could trick me and make a fool out of me.
I'm not
on national TV.
I'm not.
No, seriously.
This is a good question.
You found the glitch in my programming. You know what? When I get back to the office, I'll figure it out.
Heads are going to roll.
Who in here?
Where's that intern?
The east and the west end. Didn't anybody stop to think about this? It's a big freaking city.
How'd you get into the University of Chicago anyway? Let me take a look at those test scores.
Anyway, all right.
So I know that on this list of the 57,000, there are definitely 2,000 seniors on this list. I know that.
So, and it's good that you gave it to the aldermen, too, because, I mean, the aldermen should be checking on these people. They've got staff to be able to, not everybody, obviously, but you know, and then most of the aldermen, they kind of know who's in their wards, sort of.
Well, here's the sinful part of doing this. When you think about it, if you have, of the 57,000, if you have 22,000 homes that are going to sale,
yeah,
where the people owe under $1,000 and then it just gets sold because they didn't get the mail. By the time they redeem on this property, which is 2.5 years from now, the $1,000 could be $4,000.
So,
because of the penalties, the 18% a year, the publication costs, the sheriff's costs, all of that.
Yeah.
You could go from $1,000 to $4,000, which then they won't get it back because, I mean, for sure they can't afford it.
So when somebody buys the property taxes,
right,
I've never understood this part. So let's say this lady owes $4,000 right now,
right,
but you were going to give her $2,000 back. She owes $4,000. Somebody can go in and pay the $4,000 and then they own the property?
No. It takes them almost 2 years to actually get the property because once they bought the taxes, they have to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
They have to tell a judge, this is what I did and I bought it. Then they have to go find the homeowner. They have to
present
serve notice
homeowner
on the homeowner. The homeowner has the opportunity to come back in, redeem.
Buy it back for that amount of money?
Yeah, buy it back for that amount of money, plus the penalties, plus.
So how much more is that? A lot?
It's a lot.
It is?
It's a lot, yeah.
So you don't. It's a bad situation to find yourself in if you get your taxes.
Yeah, you would not want to be on the tax sale list.
Yeah.
You would not. I'll
try not to.
I would tell you something. It's better off to pay a bankruptcy lawyer and declare bankruptcy, because once you declare bankruptcy, you're off the list. So you're better off going to a bankruptcy lawyer, declaring bankruptcy,
right,
getting off the list till you can get the money together and then get out of bankruptcy.
All right, that's what I'll do then.
If I took the money from Khalil Mack's restructured contract, would that be on that?
No, it's
a different question.
Please do not confuse the treasurer.
I'm so confused with all these numbers
on
the radio.
I'm confused. We have already met. All we need to know, I think the moral of this story today, two things I've taken away from this.
Get on the property tax list or you're screwed.
One, Maria Pappas runs a great office, although we just did find a glitch in her program.
Yeah, we did find
two, she has a great website. With a glitch, but it is a great website.
127 languages, no big deal.
Right, and it's got this is what I do. I just paid you off of this thing a couple of weeks ago. It's so easy to do. You're done, and then you don't have to worry. I used to have to write a check and send it to the bank send it to you guys. I always had this bad image in my head of it getting lost or something happening and it being sort of rolling around on a snowy tire of a mail truck, you know, or somebody else getting it. And so it's a really great way to do this. So cookcountytreasurer.com, right?
So we'll just throw in a little interesting fact here for your listeners. Chase Bank showed up in my office a couple of years ago and said, you know what, we don't want your business anymore.
Because you could go to a Chase Bank and pay, too.
Yeah, we don't want anybody coming to Chase Banks anymore because within 5 years, we are going to have one cashier per bank and we will be no cash, no checks. Everything will be wire transactions. So we have gone out on a massive public relations campaign. It's free to pay online, and we now have more people. We have 362,000 paying online and 340,000 walking into Chase Bank. So we're trying to retrain everybody within the next 5-year period.
Wow.
I walked into a bank for the first time in years the other day.
They throw you out.
No, they still have
Did you announce a robbery?
They still have the little suckers in the jar, you know?
Yes, Chase does.
They still got them?
Yeah. That's Chase's thing. Right. They don't want to give you anything when you're in there.
Right.
You're like, you want cash out of your account?
I'm taking five of these suckers with me.
They're like, I'm sorry, Mr. Powell. We don't have that.
Security, get them out of here.
So if you're entitled, if you go to this website, cookcountytreasurer.com, and you find out that you don't have an exemption or you find out that you're owed money from a refund, you punch the red button beneath each of those items.
Yes.
And there will be an application there which you fill out, you send back to your office, and we will get you the money within a month.
Excellent. Thank you, Maria Pappas, Cook County Treasurer. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
Row the college cheating scandal with the Chicago connection.
Rococho with Anna DeBlantis. Anna's off today. Kevin Powell put on heels and he's sitting in Anna's chair.
Wow.
I think that's weird.
It's painful. Yeah. Walk around in these things all day.
You look really good in them.
Turns out it is. That's Lauren Lapka. She's the new voice on this program.
That was not me.
That was Jen.
Oh, wait. Oh,
wow.
It was Jen.
I was going to say, did she throw her voice?
So many traffic reporters there. We're going to mix that up.
I knew she was good, but I'm like, I'm sitting next to her and I did not see her lips move for that line.
I'm actually really good at ventriloquism.
That probably got you over the top here. Got me in the door.
What I might do is just close my eyes and try to figure out which. We could play the game show right
we're
now.
Interchangeable.
Who's who? And Mr. Tom Skilling, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems, is joining us, and we'd like to introduce you to Lauren Lapka.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice
to have you with us. Lauren, I'm still processing that picture of Kevin walking around in heels.
Yeah.
It's not
enjoyable, Tom.
Do that on your own time, Tom. Do that on your own time. Process that on your own time.
I'll just tell you that I used to do that when I was a little kid. I put my mom's shoes on and try to walk around. And then my dad was like, what's wrong with the boy?
Great Santini bringing you out to the driveway.
Well, we all did that to explore. You know, it's just like we...
Wait a minute. Let's just rewind for a second. We all did that. Tom.
Oh, I think
we're on
I think it's normal.
Yeah,
we're young. You don't think about it. You know? You just
looks
you
fine.
Know what I
make you taller.
What I did was I took lipstick from my mother's dresser and I drew on the wall with it on the wallpaper because I used to watch these Lestoil commercials that said that anything would be removed by Lestoil.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I figured, well, let's try this out, and I wrote. Oh my gosh! Oh. My mother should have killed me. She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Mom, Lestoil will take it all off." And she said, "No, dear, it won't."
Was that your first live spot, Tom?
Weather reports. We got a cold front coming in, Mom.
And I thought that story was going to go in a completely different direction for a minute there.
I imagine because remember the weather guys used to draw their weather maps.
Yeah.
So Tom is a little like 4-year-old drawing a weather map on his mother's bedroom wall.
Oh, with those leaky pens. You know, there's a story that John Drury was wrapping up the news one night, and the late breaking news, there was a terrible plane crash, and he read the story and then turned to Harry Volkman, who was standing by the news desk, ready to wrap up the weather show. And Harry hadn't realized that he put one of these leaky flow pens in his shirt, and he was literally drenched in black ink. And Drury, having just reported on this plane crash, started laughing, and called up and said,
"Oh gosh, poor
John.
How
unfeeling is your news anchor, you know, to laugh?" And he wasn't laughing. He was laughing at Harry drenched in black paint or blank ink.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of planes, you know, this is a bad transition here, but coming up after 4:40, we're going to talk to one of the instructors for a major airline.
Interesting.
Who instructs in the 787 MAX, the 737 MAX. So we'll find out about that particular aircraft and what this whole thing is about.
Yeah, that's
very unusual. The president grounding the aircraft.
I know.
I do think that timing is everything, right? And so he did that 2 hours after his campaign manager got another 3.5 years.
Huh.
No collusion, though. No collusion. So it did happen, though. It was very. It's a lot of people are freaked out. We've been hearing for days about people calling us and saying, "Hey, I'm scheduled to fly on that plane.
It's
Should I do it? Should I not?" There's a lot of people, and I think they're all. Jeff, you can check on this. I think they're all back on the ground now. the ones that were supposed to be, that were coming in, they announced, he announced this, what, 2 hours ago. So they were all within 2 hours of their destination, and they're all back.
Wow.
But, you know, in the pre-interview with this, I don't want to give this away, but this captain who's the instructing pilot.
Yes.
The answer to this, they're aware of this at the major airlines, and the answer to this is interesting because it really has to do more with training than anything else. And so he'll explain exactly how this
works. Very interesting. Looking forward to that.
Coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think people are concerned.
Yeah.
And obviously, why not? The idea of a plane taking off and nosing into the ground is a little disconcerting.
Yes, it is not a happy thing.
No, it's not.
No.
Flying is scary enough already.
That's true.
As Orion Samuelson often says, takeoff is optional, landing is mandatory.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. Hey, guys, we have got one hellacious storm going out in the plains. You know, Denver's reported 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts. They've had wind, and this is with snow. It's just total whiteout conditions. They were around 60 yesterday, so imagine what a slap in the face that was. There have been 100-mile-an-hour wind gusts in western Texas, 96-mile-per-hour gusts in the mountains around Denver. They've had up to 17 inches of snow. This thing has a central pressure like a Category 2 hurricane, which you don't often see in the land. But the area that's getting 80-mile-an-hour winds, and, you know, our concern here is that this thing's setting up a wind field, and, hey, these little showers and thunderstorms that poke up into this wind field can bring some of that wind energy down in strong gusts later tonight and tomorrow part of the day. And then beyond the thunderstorms, which will probably form into a squall line east of us tomorrow, we could get some straight line winds under the chest.
What time is that starting tonight?
Well, they've got a wind advisory that's just gone up for 10 to 10 tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. But the fact is, there could be some gusty winds with some of the showers and storms tonight.
Jeez.
But there could be 60-mile-an-hour winds, and these are non-thunderstorm winds, beyond the thunderstorms that will only cover about 30 or 40% of the area tomorrow, because the main line will wait till it gets east of us to develop. But so it could get very windy, and we're going to get, you know, plug into this system's wind field, which is extraordinary.
What about the weekend, Tom? Because if that keeps up, we'll see like 25,000 green plastic hats rolling down
Michigan
Avenue.
I know.
Dilly bobbers everywhere.
15-foot waves in the river as the plumbing union, plumbers union, is trying to turn it green.
Some of the youngsters got to make sure they're aiming in the right direction when they do that morning projectile vomiting.
Absolutely.
Get ugly.
There's a pleasant thought.
About the Southside Irish Parade. Although now every time I mention that, everybody gets mad down there. But
we cleaned it up. What are you talking about?
They're used to. Kevin and I are going down there this weekend. Uh-huh. Richard should join us. This is going to be something. There is.
Oh, I'm not welcome there anymore. There was
a lot of bad behavior, and there was a lot of public displays of
back in the day
of things
only
that,
on one
know,
side of Western
come out
Avenue.
Of your come out of your body. Yeah. The west side of Western Avenue.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let me let's.
Well, in answer to your question, there'll be some wind on Saturday, but it won't be anything like what we're going to see tomorrow night.
Okay, good.
So,
thank you, Tom.
And then what's Sunday going to look? Now, the downtown one is the one on Columbus Avenue, Columbus Drive, is Saturday morning.
The winds will be way under control on Sunday. And we're talking about a 41 Saturday, a 44 Sunday, so that's kind of
solid drinking weather. That'll work for me.
Yeah. You don't have to worry.
I was trying to explain to Lauren. Mm. And I'm so sorry about this. I have no idea. She's trying to. She's been here for 2 days training.
I know,
Jen DeSalvo.
Lauren, you've been thrown into the fire this afternoon, real fast.
Yeah, you know, and we just decided that we'd throw her up and onto here and see what goes on. And almost every 3 minutes, someone is telling either a hungover or drinking story on our staff.
Yeah,
and it's like Mad Men around here. I mean, it's very bad.
I noticed she's changed the locks on her own personal traffic booth. So after today, we'll never see her again in studio.
So I apologize for this. I hope that we didn't send the wrong signal. That's all I'm going
to say. No, I know who to go out with, so I don't have to pay for anything, because you're going to be like, please, join us.
True.
Why not?
Yeah.
It happens quite often.
Learning fast.
We end up paying for the entire, entire bar by the time the night's over, because I can't remember who's in our group and who isn't.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be in the bathroom when the check comes, and the row's the only one at the bar, and he always seems to be the guy that's got to pick up the tab.
So
us.
Speaking of that, you know, since I'm not going to be here much any longer, yes, yeah, do I still get to go to Lollapalooza with you, or is that a done deal?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You are a
new
member.
Traffic. Who dis?
whatever you need, you are a forever member of this.
Yes,
show.
Absolutely.
Aw, thank you.
Yes.
Because you stepped in very trying circumstances, and I know you've got other jobs and things going on.
Like
and,
six.
Yes, and so we appreciate everything that is spending all that extra time making sure that we got covered here before Lauren could arrive here.
I've had an incredible time. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It is fun. This is a fun show. Yeah. It really is. Lauren, I just parachute in here for a few minutes every day, but it's a lot of fun.
Just parachute in. That's funny. I was thinking that I need to take my parasail to work tomorrow.
You might need that.
Well, yeah.
Might she's be quicker also than the drive.
She's also thinking about parachuting out right now. Yeah. So I don't know how that works. But all right, let's. All right, so basically, what we're learning here is that tonight the wind is going to start. Tomorrow, super windy.
Yes.
Right from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes.
I mean, things are going to be flying, right?
There could be. There'll be bursts of winds in the showers that pull the wind down. And then once they pass, we get right under the underbelly of a jet stream. And then the winds pick up later in the afternoon and the evening. And those could be, 60-mile-per-hour affairs in some spots. In
Does
gusts.
That clear the skies because it's so windy?
Well, you know what? We're dry slotted is what we say. That's that little indentation on the comma-shaped storm signature you see on the satellite, that little dry wedge that makes the comma. That's what we call a dry slot, and the precipitation ends there. You get storms to form right on the east side of it, but it gets windy as heck underneath that dry slot. And to give you an idea, this is the one coming through Texas and Oklahoma now. It has a history already of producing 80-mile-per-hour winds down there. It won't be as strong here, but very strong nonetheless.
And terrible. Terrible blizzard conditions in the plains, right?
Terrible. They're quoting Mike Seidel, I noticed, on one of the news reports who's stuck out on these things for the Weather Channel. He said this is as bad as anything he's ever seen. And I'm looking at some of the video posts.
And he's already somewhat hysterical when to start, right?
Oh, poor Mike.
I mean, I remember Mike Seidel sitting here. He was the guy with the thunder snow, right? Yeah. Isn't he the guy that got crazy?
No, I can't think of his name now. Is it? Who's the guy who goes and does the hurricane stuff for the Weather Channel?
I know it. He's the guy who's always standing and screaming really loud.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. And
Jim,
that's right. Yes.
We're close. We're getting there.
We are.
Jim, like I think it's an Italian name.
Jim Cantore.
Jim Cantore.
Yeah. Right, that's
Jim
right.
Jim is such a nice guy. Don't anybody tell me.
This is like
the
day room at a nursing home.
I know it is. I know. Jeez.
God, what happened?
No, Mike is one of the live people out there, but no, it's not Jim Cantore. So
Mike Seidel is out there, but he's I know
he's out in the Denver area apparently. And
is Denver getting then that screws up all aviation heading west?
Oh, well, they've shut down I-80 and I-25 out there, so they're closed. And everything in western Nebraska, eastern Wyoming, South Dakota. Up to North Dakota will be shut down. There's no way anybody can travel in what's going on out there.
Didn't you just drive through this?
Yes, I was just thinking that. Wow. Oh, my
Lauren
goodness, what timing.
She was coming in from Oregon, moving back here to Chicago, where she's born and raised. And that's your whole thing.
Yeah, I was on I-80 for what felt like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh. And that interstate was shut out in the Sierra, shut down last week and the last couple of weeks and all that snow. Do you know they've had 51 feet of snow out in parts of the mountains of California? And by the way...
Whoa. 51 feet?
51 feet, yeah. Out of Squaw Valley, they've had 51.2 feet of snow so far this season.
How does that ever melt?
Slowly. No, but actually they say it's melting, with some speed, and they're going to have some real issues with it.
100 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Isn't that something?
Someone call Frosty. We know where he can live.
By the way, there's video that has emerged, too, from Dallas, Texas. They're on the warm side of this storm. They had thunderstorms go through with near 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Today, it took the roof off a building.
I just watched a video from Texas. A semi just getting fully blown over while driving.
Wow. I mean, this thing is, it's the central pressure is 971 millibars. I know that doesn't mean a lot. That's lower than
91. Did you say 0.7?
No, 971. That's
971. Oh,
on the home barometer, that's 28.67 inches. The lowest we've ever had in Chicago is was 28.7, but that's equivalent to a Category 2 hurricanes. Wow.
And we're normally 29.97, right? Isn't that the average?
29.92, yeah.
92.
Yeah, that's considered like a standard.
Look at what I did right there. See what I did right there?
Bro, you always
have in the basement.
The depth of your knowledge on so many different subjects.
Yeah, that's amazing. 29.92. That's right. All right. Thank you, Tom. We'll have full hysteria tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And thank Kevin, you, take the heels off. All right.
Thank you, Tom. Finally. Finally.
You're going to, you know, you're going to get bunions, young man.
I know. They're already swelling.
Get the bandages. Wow.
Thank you.
See you later, guys.
Bye. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's going on in the news.
City Council approves two of Mayor Emanuel's pet projects.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best attendance. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 on WGN-TV.
All right, we got Kim Gordon standing by in the WGN newsroom. And then on the other side, we're going to talk to an instructor pilot guy for one of the major airlines, who's going to be discussing the Boeing MAX 8 and 9, which have now been grounded in the United States, grounded everywhere around the world. These aircraft, as Boeing is trying to figure out exactly what they need to do to calm everybody down. Stay tuned to find out about it, especially if you're traveling and you're thinking, well, you know, if I ever, once they clear it, once this thing goes back into service, because there's close to 100 of them in service in the United States right now. Is there, am I safe? What's going to happen here? So we are going to have a instructor pilot tell us exactly what he instructs on this particular aircraft. All right. Exactly what's going to happen.
Good stuff.
Kim's got news in 2 minutes. Bro-Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna's off today. Kevin Powell, along with Richard Roper in the studio, and Lauren Lapka, the newest member of the Rocon Show, is here as well. Kim Gordon holding down the newsroom, and Jen DeSalvo holding down all traffic items at the moment.
That's a good softball team starting right there. We got like
we have a good
Lauren
lineup,
can lead right? Off.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not sure. I got that thing with my ankle. All right,
coach.
Today, the president announced that the FAA is grounding all the 737 MAX 800-900 fleet from U.S. aviation, and that includes close to 100 aircraft that are either in service or just about to come into service. You got 34 at Southwest, 24 aircraft at American, and 14 at United right now. So that's it. And I think by the end of the year, there were supposed to be over 100 in service. The question is, what is wrong with this aircraft, if anything? And we have a guy who's an instructor in the 737 MAX. Captain Mike is with us. And, Captain, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
We couldn't be doing better. Well. All right, so now they've grounded it. This was, you know, the FAA was, as of this morning, holding out, saying, listen, and as well as Boeing, saying, there's nothing to be of concern here. Don't worry about it. But all these other countries, including Canada this morning, which was one of the last holdouts, said, no, we're grounding the aircraft. And then somehow the president announced that the FAA was going to do it. Still unclear who actually called for that. The president made it sound like he was calling for it. But what do you think the issue is here as an instructor?
Well, I have flown the MAX. I thought it was a very nice flying aircraft, but there is quite a bit more computer assist, if you will, on this version of the 737 versus the previous versions. Part of it is the biggest change is something called the MCAS. It's a maneuvering characteristics augmentation system. And it's basically a computer-controlled element that pushes the nose down if the aircraft senses a low-speed condition. And that happens usually when the autopilot is applied and turned on. So I think that's probably where they're going to focus their attention. I don't know of this latest crash, but the previous crash was a nose low tendency. It was trimming the stabilizer, which is the tail portion of the aircraft. It was It was basically so trimming the aircraft nose down.
Let's explain why it does that. Because when the plane is, as you know, I'm an amateur pilot. Actually, I've flown in your cockpit before, which is really scary for everybody involved. when the plane starts, if the nose is too high and it's going too slow, there's a possibility that there will be a stall and the plane will just fall out of the air. So what this does is computer system, when the autopilot is on, it's turning the nose down so that it picks up speed as it's going down. But then all of a sudden these pilots, at least in the initial crash here that everybody was concerned about, the Lion Air crash, that the pilots were fighting it because they didn't realize that the computer had taken over and was actually pushing the nose down, or at least that appears to be what happened there. Now, we don't know, again, what has happened here at Ethiopian, but assuming that it was, because it's the same thing right after takeoff, assuming that that's the issue, is that a software problem or is that a sensor problem? What are the possibilities? We don't know for sure, but what are the possibilities Boeing would be looking at here?
I think that's what they're trying to figure out. And I just actually received an email from my union, and they're saying that they support the actions of the FAA in instituting this grounding for Boeing to evaluate this system or whatever issue is causing these airplanes to take those actions.
So if you disengaged the autopilot, if all of a sudden this happened, if every pilot is, you know, retrained on this or is aware of this, and they start to see this happen, you disengage the autopilot and start to hand fly it, you'd be able to pull out of this circumstance, right?
Yeah, if you disconnected the autopilot in a timely basis. Now, the 737 is actually, there's, as computerized as it is, they left a lot of the old technology in the aircraft. And the trim wheel that is actually moving, the tail, is actually a big round wheel in the cockpit. So it's very easy to see if that stabilizer is being trimmed. Some of the other aircraft, you don't have those indications. But the 737, it's very easy to see. It looks like 1960s technology. You see this wheel turning right next to your leg. So it would be very easy to see that the stabilizer is trimming itself. At what speed, because there's a high speed and a low speed depending on your phase of flight. But if you disconnected that autopilot, there are ways of cutting out that nose down system.
When you're training on the 737 MAX, is that part to learn how to use this MCAS system, which is now the suspect in all of this? Is there special training for that, because it's a relatively new software on board these aircraft?
Well, herein lies the one of the big sticking points, I think, especially with the pilot unions at a lot of the airlines, is that, so this is such a new airplane, we never had a simulator for it, and so our training was essentially going through an online training program, and that is a sticking point with a lot of pilot groups in terms of the first time you actually flew the airplane or saw the airplane, was it an actual
flying
airline?
You showed up at it and you stowed your bag.
That seems like some pretty thin oversight,
right,
Captain, to say that online program, what I would assume. Can I just ask you this too, overall? I mean, you know, we always hear about, you know, if you're a physician, you go back when there's new technology or surgical techniques. If you're a lawyer, there are conferences. How often in general do pilots get retrained or updated on what's happening in a cockpit? We have pilots, of course, like yourself, who have been around for a long time, but the technology is constantly changing.
Well, we're always going back for retraining. Not only that, we have line checks. As an instructor, I train pilots when they're coming out of the simulator phase of their training. The biggest change that we can see up front with the 737 MAX is the computer displays up front. It made it look a lot more like a 787 or some of the newer versions. But systems like this MCAS are pretty much transparent to us. We don't see what it's doing when it's doing it, and it's pretty unclear as to what displays or indications we would get, if any, if it started to do what it's supposed to do.
Other than that wheel, other than the trim wheel, which is that, you know, if you're the pilot, it's right next to your right knee, and you'd see that thing moving. It's the size of like a small steering wheel that's up against the throttle quadrant there. So, it's going to be, you would notice that, but you're not looking at the cockpit. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at all of the stuff in front of you, the screens in front of you, and you're not learning anything on those screens about what it's doing?
You know, technically not. It's not giving you a display necessarily. I'm one of the I guess you can call me an old timer in terms of I like to hand fly airplanes. I don't put the autopilot on right away. It seems from what I've heard is that this nose down tendency had occurred after takeoff when they turn the autopilot on.
Like when they turn on really early after the takeoff.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I like to fly airplanes. I like to fly them by hand. And so I probably wouldn't be faced with the situation of turning the autopilot on early. But I don't know, you know, it's certainly allowed. And if this system kicks in close to the ground, that's where potentially there's problems.
Right, because as you're too close to the ground, there's not enough time to react. Essentially, when this thing is, if you do find yourself in a bad situation, you only have a second or two to react to it. Otherwise, it's pretty much over, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that because from what I've heard, it's a slow trim of the wheel. So, these 737 Maxes have been flying for a while in the U.S. and we haven't had any issues in the U.S. So, that's why there was a resistance in not instituting the grounding, I think, until probably a lot of political pressure involved as well.
Yeah. And Ethiopian, though, is considered a good airline. You know, I don't know much about Lion Air, but Ethiopian is one of the older airlines, oldest airlines on the continent of Africa, and considered one of the, you know, the better. And so it is.
What's the timeline here? How long is it going to take for Boeing to identify the problem, fix the problem, and get the planes back up in the air?
Well, they're probably going to want to do that as quickly as possible. I mean, it's their biggest selling aircraft right now in terms of the airlines and what airlines are taking delivery of it.
Yeah, it was when the president was in Vietnam, right, during the Kim summit. He sold a bunch of, you know, the Boeing people were there selling to the National Vietnamese airline. They were selling, I think, 100 aircraft or something to them. So it was like, you know, you definitely don't want to screw this one up, because this is a long-range version of the 737. It's going to be for smaller airlines, it's going to be a workhorse for them. And that's, you know, this is something they're going to have to fix. All right, Captain Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, Captain Mike, who's instructs in the 737 MAX. We're keeping the rest of his identity away. I'll vouch for him.
Thanks.
I know that the man is an instructor, and I know the man flies airplanes for a major airline. I've seen it. And he's a hand flyer.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I like the confidence and the old school mentality. He wants to fly planes, not just be in the cockpit. I knew he was a pilot because halfway through he said, if you look to your left, you'll see that's like Michigan. It's coming up. It looks beautiful, guys.
All right, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Are you having problems with your social media pages today? You're not alone.
We're getting ready for a top 5 of 5. We're also getting ready for the Blackhawks coming your way a little earlier. They are in Toronto tonight for the 9 millionth consecutive sellout of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, since the day after World War II ended, have consecutively sold out their stadium in Toronto, no matter how sucky they were.
All the more remarkable, because that's about how long their streak is without winning the Cup.
They're the Cubs of Canada.
They are. This year is going to be different for them, but we're going to beat them tonight because we've got to beat them tonight. No choice in it. In 2 minutes, the news that matters with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Yeah, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper's in the studio. Kevin Powell is manning some of the controls, which is something you never want to hear if you're in the airplane.
Got that right. By the way, good news. Cody Parkey will officially be released today with the start of the new league year.
Let the guy go.
Oh, thank God.
I just wanted to get that out. Yeah, there. Lauren's excited.
Lauren Lapka.
I have to give someone else a clap since I've gotten so generously many today.
Yes. One door closes, another one opens. Goodbye, Cody. Hello, Lauren.
Lauren Lapka, the newest member of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Now, and you're a huge sports person. You are here. People will remember your name. You were at the game here.
Rest in peace.
Yes. Thank you very much. And now, after a couple years in television around the nation, you have you've returned here, and you're a huge sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to just share your thoughts on the fact that Cody Parkey is no longer a Bear.
Obviously, very excited. I honestly thought it should have happened sooner. I understand why it doesn't.
They should have just taken him outside and arrested him immediately.
Should
right?
have just grabbed him by the jersey and chucked him out and be like, "Go on, get."
Well, they tried, but when they tried to throw him out the door, first they hit the left side of the door, then the right side
of
the door, and he couldn't go through. So,
you know. Oh, what you did right there. All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The president announced, I don't know why he did, but he was the one to announce that the United States is grounding the 737 MAX fleet.
I've spoken to Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation, Dan Elwell, Acting Administrator of the FAA, and to Dennis Muilenburg, CEO of Boeing. They are all in agreement with the action, agreeing with this. The safety of the American people and all people is our paramount concern. Our hearts go out to all of those who lost loved ones, to their friends, to their families in both the Ethiopian and the Lion Airlines crashes that involved the 737 MAX aircraft. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
He basically just implicated Boeing in that, just in his announcement, which was, you know, by saying connecting this with that. Is probably not what Boeing wanted to hear. But how about Elaine Chao last night? She flew on one of these to get back from, she was in Dallas or something, getting back to Washington. She's like the mayor in Jaws, right? It's like, come on, get in the water. What are you doing? Let's get in the water. There's a shark. There's a shark.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, get in the water. It's fine.
Wow.
All right. We wish everybody.
It's like trying to get the officials in Flint to drink their own water. It's fine. I only have a glass of this. I'm not thirsty right now.
Yes, remember when Barack Obama drank the water? And you're like, no, don't drink the water. No. All right, here we go.
Number four.
President Trump also expressed sympathy to Paul Manafort in his public statements right after Paul Manafort got another 3.5 years in prison today.
I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. And, you know, he worked for Ronald Reagan very successfully. He worked for John McCain. He worked for Bob Dole and many others for many years. And I feel badly for him. I think it's a very sad situation. I saw that just a little while ago. And certainly on a human basis, it's a very sad thing. I feel badly for him.
He's convicted. Of crimes.
Can we think of a new word instead of sympathy? Don't have sympathy for someone who's done something bad.
Criminal.
He only has sympathy for people who are doing the bad thing. He doesn't have sympathy for anybody else. I don't understand this.
That depends who the wrongdoers are. Doesn't always have that sympathy.
Does he know what the word means?
He does. It was an interesting moment because, you know, he talks about how Paul Manafort had worked for all these other people. He was a very low-level guy at Reagan. I mean, he was a kid when he worked for Reagan, right? And then even in the Dole and all the rest of those campaigns, that was really not.
It wasn't the campaign manager?
No, it wasn't like this situation where everybody was like, why did you hire Paul Manafort?
That's another Trump move, always listing everybody else these people worked with. Yeah, I barely knew him.
Now, Manafort's attorney, right after the 3.5 year extra sentence that was thrown on him today, on a separate case,
right.
Paul Downing came out and he made this brief public statement that was drowned out by hecklers.
Hey, what I'm about to say will not be a surprise. Judge Jackson conceded that there was absolutely no evidence of any Russian collusion in this case. So that makes two courts have ruled no evidence of any collusion with any Russian.
That's not what
Department
she said.
Two. Very sad.
That's not what she said.
Very sad.
That's not what she said.
For such a callous, liar sentence that is totally unnecessary, much like this.
You guys are liars now. You're not lawyers. You're liars.
Wow.
Heckler's that's always entertaining. Yeah,
welcome to America. Wow. Well, here's a but here's
Dilly Dilly, that was like a Bud Light commercial. We don't have corn syrup.
That it turns out that is not what the judge said.
No.
The lawyer did come out and lie about that. Mm-hmm. What the judge said is this sentence doesn't represent anything to do with collusion.
But
that's not
saying there isn't any.
Was not argued in this case.
Yeah.
This is not this case
is a separate matter.
Totally separate matter. So it's like when Jussie Smollett comes out tomorrow and they go, there is no collusion. It's connected to that as anything else. Right. That is, the judge said that is still being investigated. But everybody has to get on the same talking point here. All right, we'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, can we check in now with Kim? What's coming up? Well, at the bottom of the hour, we're going straight
to hockey.
Blackhawks.
That's what we have.
Right. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I can tell you guys what's going on.
All right. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Woo-hoo! Chicago's best of 10. And stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. And see Chicago at 10 on WGN TV.
Well done, Kevin.
Hardcore pro there, because behind the scenes I can let you know that he had crumpled up that piece of paper and I had poured my coffee out on top of it and he still read it.
I was panicking. He said, read the TV thing. I don't know where it is.
Good job.
Come back, Anna.
And state of Illinois, $97 million Field of Dreams, but after 20 years, what do they have to show for it? WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
There you go.
All right.
That was much better.
Here we go. See, mine was clean.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
R. Kelly's attorney, Steve Greenberg, told reporters after the singer's child support proceeding that the parents of two women who live with Kelly can meet with their daughters. Well, that's awfully nice. They just have to give him a call and set up the meeting and plan to have the meeting in Chicago. He wouldn't speak about the child support hearing because that case remains sealed.
It's not going to be with all of these conditions that the parents keep putting on it. So it's not going to have to be attended by law enforcement. And it's not going to have to be attended by a psychologist. And it's not going to have to be attended, with all due respect, by the media.
You see, that's bad. When the lawyer says, hey, the parents can see the kids, but they can't bring anybody with them. Because think of what the parents are afraid of here, right? There's got to be some sensitivity to that. Can they bring their lawyer? Can they bring a witness? Can they bring a court stenographer? What do they got? I mean, these are parents of young girls who somehow run away with R. Kelly.
These supposedly the girls that the parents paid R. Kelly to take?
That part is unclear. That's a moving target for us. We haven't been able to confirm which ones are which. Though. I think I don't want to say at this moment because I don't have them right in front of me. But it doesn't matter. These are parents of kids. The whole thing's wrong. Totally wrong.
Very much.
Checking in at
number 2.
Jay Leno isn't laughing at what has become a late night television. The former Tonight Show host revealed in a new interview with the Today Show. Oh, that's weird. He was on the Tonight Show. Now he's doing an interview with the Today Show.
Yeah, it's not the Today Show.
Tomorrow's show is even better, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There used to be a show called The Tomorrow Show.
Yeah, of course it was on yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah, very hard to
keep track of. Wait, what? Did you? Okay.
Yesterday on The Tomorrow Show, I was going to talk about The Today Show. Yeah, it's crazy. Hear about this?
He says he's disappointed with how politics has taken over.
I don't miss it. You know, everything now is, if people don't like your politics, everyone has to know your politics. When I kind of use Johnny's model, people couldn't figure out, well, you and your Republican friends, well, Mr. Leno, you and your Democratic buddies, I would get hate mail from both sides equally. And I went, well, that's fabulous. Yes. That's exactly what I want.
Yes.
But when people see you as one-sided, it just makes it tough. And plus, you know, I did it when, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, and it was just a little easier.
Wow. And everybody dances on these talk shows now. Every time I turn on, it's a politic thing, and then they're like, hey, you danced that one time in the movie. Let's dance with the crowd. Ellen started all that. Now everybody dances.
Yeah. And I like how everybody has to run now. You can't just walk out on stage.
Right. But then you do like a little shimmy.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to run from behind. And, you know, Letterman started this by running across the stage. Mm-hmm. And then I think at the end of his career, he had a stunt Letterman who ran across the stage.
Golf cart. Yeah.
Yeah. And then now they have to run out. And then, you know, we just heard from Jay Leno. But they're all the same name anyway. I'm just totally,
you have to be
totally
a
confused. There's Jimmy and Jimmy.
Jimmy or Jay and James and...
Right.
Yeah. And Jay wouldn't laugh. But he's right. You know, the thing is, the interview used to be a big part of these shows. I mean, I did these shows, you'd get 9 minutes. Our segments were 9 minutes long. Now, by the time you get done with the monologue and the skit and the talent show and the dancing, then there's 2 minutes to talk to Chris Hemsworth or whatever.
Tell us about your movie. All right, thank you. We'll see you later.
That's pretty much
Jimmy
it.
Jimmy Fallon laughing the whole time. Great to
see you. Now, if you did the Tonight Show now, you'd have to play a game with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
You'd have to leave the set and you'd have to stand. You'd have to like get hooked up to a lie detector and tell us what you really think about it.
Stick your hand in a thing and touch some furry end of an animal and guess what it is.
I'd love to play one of those games.
I know. I've played that game at Windy City Live where you stick your hand in a box, you don't know what's in there.
That one's scary.
You don't want to do that.
It's part of the expression.
It's moving. Oh my God, it's moving.
Number one.
I played that game New Year's Eve 1999, too.
Lori Loughlin faces charges for allegedly participating in a college admissions cheating scam.
Empty house.
Her daughter, Olivia Jade Giannulli, made some past comments that have really raised the ire of people who are... People are already mad when they heard about this story. Yeah. And then this... knucklehead, this ding dong, ends up, she's got 1.9 million viewers on YouTube. 1.9 million.
YouTube star, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. This young girl who was the daughter of Lori and Massimo.
The Target guy.
Yeah.
She looks exactly like her mother. Like, if you see her mom in old TV and movies, she's exactly like her
perfect.
Mother.
Perfect.
She's beautiful, lovely girl, dumb as a box of rocks.
And then the whole college thing, yep, I'm going. I'm living in a dorm with a roommate who's so sweet. With work, it's going to be hard. Like, my first week of school, I'm leaving to go to Fiji for work. And then I'll be in New York a bunch this year for work and traveling to a different country because I'm creating something with this country and that's for work. So I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I'm going to go in and talk to my deans and everyone and hope that I can try and balance it all. But I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school.
Oh my God.
What is all about?
There you go.
Wait, what is work? What is work?
I want to know what work. Oh, like the work with another country. We were creating a new irrigation system in Central Africa. I'm sure that's what it is.
Rebuilding the 737 MAX. Here's Powell's Howl as the bonus cut.
Time now for Powell's Howl. The ravings, rantings, and occasionally incoherent babble.
It's kind of a big deal.
Of Kevin Powell.
It's played out like a dark comedy Hollywood film. An admission scandal.
Oh, good Lord!
Con man getting underqualified rich kids into elite universities. Rick Singer's the mastermind behind all this. He even found a whiz kid, Mark Rydell, to take placement tests for the students. Rydell's so smart he could actually guess the score he would get on the test. Your daughter needs a 34 on her ACT. Done. Your son needs a 29 to not be too suspicious. Rydell took care of it.
Yes, I got into Stanford. Freaking out.
Okay, it's good they're cleaning this up. Yes, it was bad. And yes, I feel horrible for all the other students who don't have rich moms with a haircut that screams,
I want to speak to your supervisor. Better yet, I'm going to write a letter.
I'm just mad I didn't think about photoshopping my face onto Brian Urlacher's body before sending my high school football highlight reel to college recruits. I could have been one of the greats. Aunt Becky, you were one of my first crushes. Now Lori Loughlin's just another disgraced celebrity. As Uncle Jesse's pal Joey Gladstone would say, you should have
cut it out
a long time ago.
The top five at five.